Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, well, welcome. I'm so happy that you found or you came across this website, and this may be the first sermon you're listening to. One thing I want to say, though, this is a part, I guess you could say, a part two of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. So if this is your first sermon that you're listening on this website, I encourage you to listen to the last sermon, because that's very important. And the last sermon, we kind of look at the first words of this scripture in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And the three words was, come unto me. Jesus is saying, come unto him, right? The take home of that message was, are you truly coming to Jesus Christ? And, I mean, that's a question that, you know, we need to ask ourselves. I know that can be a tough question. I get that. And if you're this is your first sermon, there are a ton of sermons on this website. I have an archive site too, so you can look up salvation messages. I've preached quite a few on messages, probably over 50 probably now. I don't really keep count. It may be 100 on salvation, because salvation is very important for you to understand and get a grip, a grasp on. And and that's really when we look at coming to me. This, are you truly coming to Jesus Christ, right? Are you truly coming to him? See here, if you're not truly coming to Jesus Christ, and what I talked about on the last sermon is, people really bypass those first three words here, coming to me. They kind of go over that so briefly, and to me it's very important. If you're not coming to Jesus Christ, then the rest of the scripture, this promise that Jesus gives his children, don't apply to you. Now, that in a world where everything's being sugar-coated, the gospel's being sugar-coated, pastors are, and preachers, teachers, evangelists, they're soft-pedaling the gospel, not preaching the truth. I pray when I hear about revivals that truly there are reviving people. But when you look at the world in general, for instance, there was one study where they done a what we call a Bible worldview, meaning this is how we view scripture. How, if I'm looking at my life, I'm looking the way I live my life, I'm looking the way I handle situations through scripture. And if you guys want this article, I can send it to you. It says 6 to 8% of Americans have a biblical worldview, meaning they look at their life through scripture. And when I look at those type of numbers, because I can't be everywhere at every time, you know, I can't be at every revival going around, all I can do is look at studies like this and say, what are they really preaching? What are they really teaching? Are they truly teaching salvation? Are they truly telling you, as a, if when we come to Christ, we paint a target on our back? This world hates us. It hated Jesus. It will hate us. Are you ready to be hated by this world? Are you willing to be crucified by this world? Are you ready to be unpopular? Unpopular. Are you willing to lose it all the material things in your life? Are you willing to lose it all? Give it all. Every bit of it. Surrender your life to a holy God. Are they really preaching this and teaching this? I pray they are, but I don't believe they are. Because that don't sell. What sells is this sugar-coated gospel. You can come to Christ and everything will be okay in this lifetime for you. It will be a bed of roses. I'm going to tell you, my friend, if you got that view of Christianity, you need to change your perspective. Yes, God will give us strength to endure, but your life will not be a bed of roses. It'd be more filled with thorns that will pierce your skin. And we need to prepare ourselves to be soldiers, endure hardness, coming to Him, giving it all. What I want to do is really encourage you guys, if this is your first sermon you're listening to, please go back and listen to part one. That's very important, because that's the part that a lot of times is just bypassed. It's just, you know, salvation, and there's a ton of salvation messages on here. Plenty of scriptures for you to go to and look and read and study for yourself. Pray for God to open your eyes and see the truth of the matter. See the American gospel, the soft pedal gospel, the vomit gospel that is not the true gospel that's being proclaimed right here in America. Is stink in the nostril of a holy God. And don't think He's not getting tired of it. His patience is running thin with America and her churches that are lukewarm. But this is part two. And of course, we'll be in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I'm going to read these scriptures again. But this message today that I've titled with the help of the Holy Spirit is this: true rest. True rest. And the question I want to ask you, of course, and this is going to be the driving question, the driving point through this whole sermon this week. Do you know what true rest is? Do you know what true rest is? So Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, "Come unto me." He's speaking here. Jesus says, "Come unto him," Jesus. He said, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just come before your presence, Holy Spirit, move as you see fit. God, take over this sermon. Let the words I speak be the words that you need me to speak. You know, Jonathan, you know I am weak, and I need your strength. I need your strength to preach. I need your strength to even get up in the mornings. I need you in every aspect of my life. I need you all the time. Holy Spirit, pour through me to whoever may be listening right now. You know who will listen, you know who will accept the message, and you know who will reject it. And those that reject it, Lord, I pray over their life right now, God. For salvation, everlasting life. For this For tomorrow may not come. It doesn't come for some. And we will spend our eternity in heaven or hell. And those that are yours, we go to our everlasting life, the presence of Jesus. And those that are not, eternal separation, torment forever, everlasting damnation, forever and ever, hell, in the presence of demonic entities, forever, torment, forever. God, we pray over those that reject. We don't want to see none perish and go to this place, this torment, forever. God, do what you must do in their life, God. We know they have a choice in the matter. And we know that you know all of that. And we just give them to you, God. We have family members that we know they're lost. We got friends that we know they're lost. We got co-workers we know they're lost. We lift them all up to you. Our hearts are heavy. And oh, how we pray for their souls. And we are supposed to be those individuals, those disciples, right, that pray for the lost, pray for this world, pray without ceasing. We should be men and women of prayer. Our life should flow from the morning to the night with prayer. God, we pray for those that we know that are under the weather. We pray over those who may be experiencing financial hardships, challenges in this life. God, we pray over them, Lord. Lord, we pray over ministries. We pray that are standing true for God's word. Lord, we pray that we keep pressing on to the very end, because times are going to get worse. And you tell us this. But we keep pressing. Keep pushing. To the very end. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. True rest. If you're taking notes, you can jot that down. And you can jot this question down. And in the end, when this is all said and done, I hope you can answer this question. Do you know what true rest is? At a time where life is crazy, we get so consumed with everything that is just rushing in on us as soon as we wake up, right? And I speak from personal experience, and you may be able to relate. I can have a lot of stuff rushing at me, the things I need to do for that day. They're distractions. Some of us can think about tomorrow before tomorrow gets here. We can even feel the stress of tomorrow that can cause us to not have a good night rest. Our anxiety can keep us up all night, which can affect our health. I don't know if you experience insomnia. Maybe the anxiety of the next day is just so much, you just can't take it. It just keeps you up. Maybe when you get home, your anxiety levels are on overload. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God wants His children to suffer from these conditions? The answer is no. You may ask yourself, then what is happening? Well, here's the truth of the matter. We are what is happening. We can be our worst enemy. We stand in the way of God in giving us true rest from everything that is happening all in our lives. I want to tell you, God's word is true. And when God's word tells us that we can come to Him, right? And He will give us rest. This is not my opinion, but this is a promise from God. When we truly come to Him, we can take all the chaos of this world, all the madness of this world, all the circumstances of this world that can be difficult, yes. challenging storms in this life. And you can give all that to Him. And He will what? Give you rest. True rest. I can't help but think of Mark 4, 36 through 41. I preached on this passage before, and to me it's just, I'm drawn to this passage a lot like many others, but I want to read it here and just keep this in your mind. Were they really having this rest? It's right here. Here's the disciples. They're with Jesus. So verse 36 says, when they had sent away the multitude, they, speaking here of the disciples, took him, Jesus, even as he was in a ship. And there was also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He was resting. He did not worry about the storm that was falling on him and his disciples in this sea. But here they woke him and they said to him, Master, carest thou that not that we perish? Basically, do you care if we die? And he rose, and guess what? He rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea. What did he say unto that sea? Did he say, oh sea, I am fearful of you? No, he said, peace, be still. And when we get here, it says, and the wind. There is no delay in this. When he spoke to that storm, peace came upon that storm. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. There was a great storm, and there is a great calm. And 40, verse 40 says, and he said unto, why are ye so fearful? He looks at disciples, and they're practicing this negative fear that I believe that many people today have allowed Satan to grip their life, this fear that has steeled them of their rest. And he said, how is that ye have no faith? And they fear exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Man, this is powerful, guys. Because I believe this is a problem with a lot of children of God out there today as disciples. Here, disciples, they should be completely at rest with Jesus Christ. They should have not been letting this situation rattle them. They should have been laying right down next to Jesus with full assurance that the storm had no power over their life. See, my friend, you know, you may already get this. In this life, we will face trials. Some of you guys are going through trials right now. You're going through challenges right now. And when we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit, we allow those trials, those storms, to rattle us. And we allow them storms to affect our rest. When Jesus tells us we can have rest in Him, even amidst the trials, the storms, and challenges. We draw closer to Him, and when we draw closer, we're drawing the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. We draw to the Holy Spirit, right? But here's the disciples, all this great wind, these waves are beating on this boat until the boat is filling up with water. And what happens, right? The water is filling in the boat, and guess what? The boat is sinking, and they are sinking. When all this happens, what happened? Panic, right? Fear happens. The spirit of fear, right? That Satan and his demons have mastered. This is a negative fear. 1 John 4:18 speaks of this fear. It says, there is no fear in love, But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has what? Torment. And he that fear is not made perfect in love. This is speaking of this negative fear, guys. This is the fear that Satan uses and we allow in our heart. This fear dries out and distances the presence of God in our life, meaning we separate ourselves from the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that can give us rest, that can give us strength. See, Satan and his demons are good as in instilling fear in your life. Just think, next time you hear a thunderstorm, maybe you're in your home, maybe you're in your apartment, maybe you're driving, maybe you're out in a boat actually, fishing or whatever, and a storm comes up on you, and the thunder starts to roar, and the lightning strikes through the sky, and the rain starts pouring down. The wind whoops so hard. Maybe in the boat. Hopefully at that time you're trying to get to shore, right? But there, what are you feeling? If you're in your home and you hear the thunder strikes and lightning, and you hear the wind whooping across your home or your apartment, or maybe you're driving, you see the light and the thunder, and what is going through your mind? What are you experiencing at that point? Now, I'm not telling you to not evacuate. If you know a hurricane is coming, a tornado is coming, we need to evacuate. God gives us common sense to get out of a place when there is a massive storm. Here in Louisiana, we have hurricanes, we have tornadoes. I know other states do too. They can wreck areas, and they have, and they will. So get to safe. But what I'm doing, I'm just trying to get you a visualization. Think of maybe you have been in a hurricane. Maybe you have been in a tornado. What are you feeling? Is it God's got this? Of course we evacuate, and God gives us common sense to evacuate. But are we really saying that God's got this, right? The fear that we're experiencing, does it make our God look small? While we look big, like we are in control, and God is not? I got this. See, disciples are letting this fear take over their hearts. The fear was controlling their life. The spirit of fear may be controlling your life. The spirit of fear may be stealing that rest that God has promised His children. It was stealing the disciples' rest. They're doing everything in their power, and they look over, and there is Jesus Christ. He is resting. He is truly resting. He was not worrying about that storm. They woke Him. He was resting. And what was the question? They asked Him, "Do you care if we die in this ocean, in this sea?" And they already seen Jesus Christ through physical miracles, right? It just went over their heads. They didn't believe that He could calm that raging sea. Listen to me. They did not believe. They did not have the faith that He could keep them safe from the storms. And they were not resting. They were not trusting Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ had this. You might say, well, that's kind of harsh, but what did Jesus do here? I am not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to tell you, we need to stop letting Satan have a foothold in our life and steal that rest that God has promised us. Look, Jesus Christ, he looks at that sea, right? And he says, what? Peace be still. And guess what happened? The peace went across that sea and the wind ceased. A great calm. A great rest. And then you look at the disciples and guess what? Did he say, oh, I understand. I get you guys. I get where. No! He rebuked them for their lack of faith. Just wait until another pandemic comes around, guys. Don't think it will not come around. Watch what happens. If you're part of these churches that will close their doors because of this pandemic, you need to leave them churches. Because they truly don't have faith in Jesus Christ. They're not truly trusting in God. Now, I'm not saying that we be careless. Oh, how they will. I was attacked last pandemic because I said we need to keep our churches open. I said our churches are important. When the government tells our churches are not essential, I say the government has overstepped their boundaries. I will stand on God's word. Every man's a liar. I will stand when a government says I can't worship my God, I can't have church, and when my brothers and sisters in a building and you're making all kind of excuses, the pastors are making all kind of excuses, the Bible teachers are making all kind of excuses, you need to leave that church. They're not preaching God's word. If you're sick, stay home. Get better. Keep your churches open. Sad thing is, they have more faith and trust in Satan and his demons than they do in God. Wonder why the church is not truly having rest. They're operating in the fear, this negative state, this spirit of fear, instead of faith in Jesus Christ and resting in him. They have faith in themselves. They have more faith in Satan and his demonic hosts. That they got this. I will tell you, our Jesus Christ is bigger than any disease. Any pandemic. But watch what happens. When it rolls around again, churches will start closing their doors again. Oh, we'll do online services. I will tell you, many churches have not recovered from the last one. Oh, my friend, find you a church that will stand against the government, that will keep their doors open. Just common sense, stay home if you're sick. If you have faith, your church has faith, come in to that church and have a pastor or preacher pray. Probably is. You tell them that you have COVID. That's it. They're going to be scared to death. They're already operating. Ask them. Go to the church and say, hey, I have COVID. I need you to pray for God to heal me. See what exactly runs through their mind. The ones that are professing to be healers, that are prosperity gospel, just see what runs across their face. Scared. Fear. It's all good when it's calm, right? I don't know why people don't pick up on this. It's just that great deception is going on. The faith healers closed their churches. I guess healing. They couldn't heal. The healing, their great anointing healing ministry couldn't handle COVID. Not mocking them, I'm just saying, if you truly have the gift of healing, truly do, you wouldn't have closed your doors down. COVID wouldn't have been nothing. Massive people would have been healed in your church with COVID. And guess what? I didn't see none of that. Why? Because there's deception on a massive level. People are not reading their Bibles. They're not studying God's word. They're letting a man be authority over their lives, speaking into their lives, deviating them from God's word. We should be men and women that are always studying God's word, in God's word daily, memorizing scripture upon scriptures. We should have hundreds of scriptures memorized in our hearts. Do you? Our lives should be saturated with prayer. Hour two ain't nothing. 4 hours, good. Now you're getting to the heart of the matter. Oh, I don't got time for that. Then you have problems. When your preacher up there telling you to do something, it counters against God's word. And when you ask them to prove something and they don't want to prove it, but they said, this is what I believe. I don't care what they believe. I care what God's word says. And I believe in God's word. We're not having true rest because we are allowing heretics, sheep, the wolves in sheep clothing, all through our churches. Because we like them. They're popular. I like the way they look. I like the way they talk. And they're not really hurting my feelings, so I like that. I'm telling you, many people would not like Jesus Christ if he physically came in form and walked in the church and give some of the messages that he gave. Just read the Gospels. Oh, I want Paul. No, you don't. You can't handle a Paul. Have you read his epistles? Well, I didn't really like that part of the epistle. I just kind of ignored that one. But I like when he talks about grace and mercy. Oh, wait a minute. He rebuked the Galatians? Galatians 5, right? Walk in the Spirit, less in the flesh. Passages come to mind. Oh, I don't really like that part of it. That really bothers me. Talks about fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, goes through a whole list. And he said, those that practice is what did he say? Will not inherit the kingdom. How many people within our churches are sleeping around, not married? Fornication, right? Jesus said, if you even look up on a woman, you commit adultery. If you're married, you're... Oh, well, we really don't like that part of Jesus saying. We center on the whole counsel of God. We don't pick and choose. And that's what's happening when we start compromising God's word. When we start allowing sin to infiltrate our life. We start affecting our rest. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, right? Drawing to His presence. See, when we lean on the Holy Spirit, when we recognize that we need to be in God's Word, when we recognize we need to be men and women of prayer, when we recognize that our trust in Jesus, His sovereignty, He's got this, overshadows that fear, that spirit of fear in our lives. We trust Him. We may not understand every aspect. We trust and we lean on Jesus Christ. And when we lean on Him, we come, as it says in the rest of this, the passage in 28 through 30 says, and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke unto you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we truly come to Him, our labor are heavy laden, and we will find rest. He will take our yoke upon, and we can learn of Him through His word. For through His word we know He is meek, He is lonely in heart. And guess what? It says you will find rest. You shall find rest upon your souls. That's not opinion. That is a fact. Jesus Christ's yoke is easy, his burden is light. Let me ask you this, why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Have you ever thought of those of that? Why is his yoke easy and his burden light? It's no great mystery, my friend. None. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, it seems like it's not talked about much. Jesus Christ is talked about and you know, God, and but the Holy Spirit is kind of who's this third of the triunion God, and of course there the triunion God is all through Scripture, meaning God is Jesus, Jesus is God, and God is the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Do I get it? It gets confusing, yes, but this is true, right? Just think of John 14, 8 through 9, actually 8 through 9 tells us, let's read it. It said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you that yet has I not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. This is saying, Jesus said, you see me, you see God. And how say that then? Show us the Father. And the Holy Spirit is also represented in this passage. Verse 16 and through 18 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And he may abide with you forever. For even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seek him not. See, this world does not seek God. Neither know him, but ye know him. If you are his, you know him. For he dwell with you and shall be in you. And guess what? He says, I will not leave you comfortless. And I will come to you. I will come to you. Here's that word. I will come to you. See, when the Holy Spirit is in our life, the Holy Spirit is with us, we can have comfort, guys. With anything that we may be going through in our life, we can have true rest. And he continues verse 19 through 27. I'm just going to read this. It says, yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall what? Live also. At the day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I want to tell you, this is beautiful. I pray that you get this. Verse 21 says, he that had my commandments and keep them, he it is that loved me. Keeping his commandments. And he that loved me shall love of my Father. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that will manifest thyself unto us, and not unto this world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Amen. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him. He that love me not, keep not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And these things have I spoken unto you. Here it is, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. We don't have to be confused. I say Holy Spirit, you can say Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. It's that part that resides in us. It's Jesus living in us. Why? Because he says, whom the Father will send in my name. And he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. In verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace have you, I give unto you, not as the world give, but I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just think about the words here that Jesus is speaking. He said, I will give you a comforter. I will give you strength. But you go to verse 21. He says, he that have my commandments and keep them. You see, when we truly come to Jesus Christ, we seek to keep his commandments. We seek to walk in the Spirit. Here's that problem. We seek not to sin against God. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We strive to walk that straight and narrow as much as we can. Yes, we will have things in this life that will trip us up and we will sin. But the Holy Spirit comes in and he corrects us. He chastens us. He brings us in that repentance state where we say, God, I am sorry. I did not mean to do what I done. We confess. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Here is the issue. We are in a nation that don't care about repentance. We're in a majority of your churches that don't even want to preach repentance. I want to tell you, if you preach a salvation message and you don't preach about repentance and sin and hell, you do not have a salvation message. You have a perversion of the gospel that's being thrown out there in majority of churches today that will not stand on God's word. They will stand on a lie. They operate in fear. They could care less about what God tells them, what he commands them, to walk in his commandments, to walk in the light, to walk in that path, to yield to his will, to surrender our life, to pick up our cross and follow him daily. We should be dying daily to our flesh, not giving in to our flesh, not giving in to this world. If you want to be like this world, you want to sin like this world, you want to conform to this world, you truly have not came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and no, you will not have rest, and no, you will not have comfort, you will not have true joy and happiness in your life. And I want to tell you today that is sad. You may profess that you know Jesus, but you don't want to talk. You want to look just like this world. You don't have Jesus. You have another gospel, a perversion of the gospel. We draw our strength, those that are his. See, if we truly are his, we don't want to be like this world. And we recognize our carnal nature. And we're not okay with that. We recognize this is not our home. We're just passing through. We strive to walk in the light. We strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus every day, reaching out to those that are lost and going to hell. I pray that you are doing that. And we'll say you're in. If you're not, you're a child of God. And I encourage you guys to go and listen to part one. You could really get into about coming to Jesus Christ. And there's other salvation messages on here. But I want to say this. If you're a child of God, you can have rest. But we can get in the way. When we let this world rub off on us the conviction. We're supposed to have that conviction of the Holy Spirit first, right? When we start looking like this world, we start smelling like this world. The Holy Spirit should be grieved in your life, which leads to repentance and confession. If you're not having those, having that in your life, you know. Your heart is troubled. You're like David. You say, create a clean heart in me. You're driven. Your soul is not at rest. See, if you're a child of God, you truly have come to Him. You can have rest. We let the enemy cause all kind of chaos in our lives. Just as disciples here in the sea, in this ship. And Jesus looks at them and says, why are you so fearful? Speaking here of that negative fear, that phobic fear. He said, where is your faith? Your trust that I have this. Now, if you're going through fear in your life, the spirit of fear, I want to tell you, I preached on the spirit of fear. I did a whole spiritual warfare series that was like 3 months, and part of that was on the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is powerful. But we don't have to let it have power over our life. This is what the disciples were doing. They were looking. They seen the fear. They were in that state of fear. They were panicking. They look over there, and there's Jesus resting. Their souls was unrest. But they could have rest. Jesus saying, just trust in me. Look what I just did. The storm is now a great calm. He was saying that message is he can do that. He can create a calm in your life. Miss all the challenges and storms that you may face. You can come to him in that state of chaos. And when you truly trust in Him, faith, everything else will take a sidestep. And closing this out, remember the title, True Rest. Remember that question. Do you know what true rest is? Remember the scripture, Matthew 11:28-30. Let's read that again. He says, come unto me. That is Jesus here. And all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lonely in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to tell you, my friend, today, if you are His, you have truly came to the Father. You can have this rest. Stop letting the enemy, Satan, his demons, have control over your life. They only have the control that you have given them to wreak havoc on your life. Guess who was else in that boat with Jesus and the disciples? In Mark 4, 36 through 41, Satan, his demons, darkness. Anytime the spirit of fear is present, there's spiritual darkness around you. And that darkness you have allowed in your life, but you don't have to. Remember 1 John 4, 18-19 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that fear is not made perfect in love. I want to tell you that fear can give you torment, but you do not have to endure that torment as a child of God. We are light. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Now we can do things in our life that weakens the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Sin in our life will weaken the Holy Spirit. Well, I will say not weaken. It will, we distance ourselves better, I guess. We distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit. He reaches within that situation and that you're going through. But you keep sinning and sinning. There should be conviction in your life. There should be a heartbreaking. You should be heartbroken. When you start doing that, your life, you should be miserable. You should be happy, 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 right? The joy of your salvation. You should be miserable. And when you feel that misery, you know there is something not right in your life. And you should immediately know that you need to get it right with Jesus. You know you should have that rest that Jesus promises us in Matthew 11, right, 28 through 30. If your life is in chaos, you're not having this rest, you need to examine your life and see that you be in the faith. See that you are walking in the light. How's your Bible reading? How is your prayer life? How is your fellowship? How is that time with Jesus Christ? You prefer doing other things and studying God's Word? You prefer doing other things than praying and seeking His will for your life? Then you have problems. If this is not grieving your heart, then you have a whole lot of other problems going on. Because as a child of God, this should grieve our hearts. This should rattle us to our bones. Shatter us to our knees. Thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit, the Comforter. When we draw closer to Jesus Christ, we seek His will more than others, people's opinions, or this world. We don't seek to conform. No, we stand with God. We draw from His strength. And when we do that, we start achieving, we start reaching that rest. That does not mean we'll not go through things and challenges and storms in this life. It means when we do, we'll look at it and we'll say, Lord, You got this. Lord, please deliver me, right? I'm in pain, God, but I know that You got this. I know that You are in control. You can praise Him in that storm. He can lift His holy name up. For within that storm, you achieve that rest, but He's also growing you into the disciple that He needs you to be. Today I pray that you truly understand what rest is. I truly pray when you look back at that question, and I pray that you wrote it down. Do you know what true rest is? And do your own Bible study on it. Use the scriptures I used today as a springboard and just go. Cross-reference it out. Study what it means to truly have rest. And to truly have rest with Jesus first, we must be His. Right? Come to Him. And when we come to Him, then there is that faith, that is trust. That God, you have this. Regardless of what's going on in my life, I may not understand it. God, you have this. I will trust in you. Even though everything may be falling apart, I will trust in you. I will give it all. And when we do that, we start abiding in Christ. We start drawing nearer. And the Holy Spirit within us, He comforts us. He gives us that peace within that storm to move beyond ourselves and say, God, you got this. You are the master of the storm. Help me keep my stuff together. Help me keep my eyes firmly focused on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this message out, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just, whoever may be hearing this, or this week, or next week, or a few months from now, or a year from now, it's out there. It's there. God, we pray over their lives right now. I don't know if they are yours, but Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, if something that was said in this sermon or in any of these sermons, you get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise. I don't want none of it. But if it encouraged them to open their Bibles and to look at your word, I would love that. That's my desire, really is, for people to. It ain't about how elegant I can. I don't even claim to be elegant, or I don't even claim to be that good of a preacher. All I claim is I know God is in this, and only thing I pray is that this encourage people to get more into your word and seek your face. More and more to have a love for your word and to be in your presence. And we truly do that. Oh, that rest we will have. It's everything that we may go through. God, we pray, Lord, that if there's a soul here that just comes across this, they don't know you, Lord, that course, invade their life, open their eyes, and those that are here that are yours and they are struggling with situations in their life, challenges and storms, and they have allowed the enemy to affect their rest. Lord, let them get this, that Satan is a liar, and he wants to instill the spirit of fear upon their lives. As children of God, we don't have to operate in that capacity. We can stand in the light. We can lean on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to guide us and direct us. and bring peace on every situation. Every situation, you tell us, bring it all to you. We should bring it all to you. Every bit of it. And you will give us rest. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Because the Holy Spirit in us gives us strength to endure. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, if it's your first time listening to a sermon on this website, as this is part two of I talked about doing a sanctification message. It'll probably be separate from this. I just felt like doing the Holy Spirit really pressed on me to do a part one and part two of this. I'm going to start working on a sanctification message. I just want to get a little bit into sanctification. Maybe you may have heard of that word. Maybe you haven't. It's very important to understand what sanctification means. It's all through Scripture. I'll start working on that message. May not have it developed or for next. Maybe working on a few weeks. And I'll probably post a message next a sermon next week on something the Holy Spirit. While I work on that one too. You can reach out through me email here. You can email me through this website. If you email me, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry in the title. So if it does go to junk mail, I can find it. Any questions that you may have, you can email them to me. If you're on my Facebook group, you are already part of my friend list. I have a private group there. Just if you want to be part of my private group, because I got it private grouped out, because it's just I just want people in that group that are on fire for God, and it's hearts on fire. I just want people fired for God's word. I post a lot of scriptures on there. I post a lot of, you know, replical Bible studies that I believe are men and women that are solid in God's word on there, and they have a ton of teachings, like Joe Schimmel, Mike Winger, I'm trying to think of Ray Comfort. These guys are solid. They are solid Bible teachers, solid men of God. And of course, if you follow this ministry anytime, you know I'm very vocal on the ones I don't believe are. If you're following Andy Stanley, get away from that man. If you're following the news lately, they're hosting an LGBT thing at their conference and stuff. It's just ridiculous. This is a God's word is very clear on homosexuality. I've said this before, and I'll say this: homosexuality is going to be a very, I believe, is going to be a very quick way to eventually to cipher these churches today, especially these false churches I consider not standing on God's word. Andy Stanley's just one of those. So I'm very vocal. I'll tell you, somebody that sits there and tries to endorse homosexuality, they're not a Christian church, regardless of what they want to call themselves. They're apostate. They are a church of Satan. Once again, I mean, you can email me. My Facebook, just send me Crucify for Christ Ministry. I listen to a sermon, devotionals, whatever. I can add you to my private group. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, not that much. I don't really care too much for Twitter or Instagram, but I'll post things here and there, so you can reach out to me that way. I check it maybe once a week. My Facebook, I check daily. Also, you can email some. You guys have my private number. Y'all can text me that way, or you can FaceTime me or call me if you need to. Any questions. You guys have a good rest of your day, night, if you're listening to this at night, or the weekend or week. And of course, always, if you do have any questions, please reach out to me through this website. Just make sure you put the title on there, because if it goes to spam, and if you're familiar with spam, there's so much spam there, it's ridiculous. You can reach out to me that way. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.